This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
On Joy.
We're always delighted to welcome our next guest into the Joy Studios. She was elected as the member of the Northern Metropolitan Region in the Victorian Legislative Council. Of course, I'm talking about the leader of the Reason Party, Miss Fiona Patten.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Mikey. Good morning, Andy.
Yes, we got to meet our lovely new co-host, isn't he? He's very pretty in the morning, isn't he?
He's lovely, an investigative journalist, we have just found out. But I've been a bit concerned about what he's investigating.
Clive Palmer, mate.
No, really.
He's got a big social media presence. That's my whole thing. Okay.
Well, yeah, but you're not his demographic. Please tell me that, Mikey.
No, the whole voting thing confuses me. I just go there and vote for whoever has the prettiest fly with the most colours.
Which was us, God, of course.
Let's just thank God we've got a while before the federal election. We've got some training this boy to do. Look, here tonight, let's talk about the launch of the Melbourne Queer Festival. I mean, we've had Midsummer, we've had Pride, we saw you down there with your lovely team and family, but you've just attended the...
Yeah, so the Queer Festival program launch. This is the 29th year of the Melbourne Queer Festival.
How great
Film
is
Festival.
That?
It's incredible, just incredible. And it was, star-studded evening. I can't tell you what happened inside there because I, made promises.
Oh.
But no, it was absolutely brilliant. 29th year. I think it's the largest queer film festival in Australia. And it travels now to Shepparton, to Bendigo, so they do a whole bunch
Which
of regional
great,
work.
Isn't it? And, and unless they're getting out to regional areas, again, we're just preaching to the choir by Junity Melbourne.
That's right. It's interesting. Quit Victoria is one of the big sponsors, and they did a young filmmakers competition. At which they had a tie because it was so good. But they showed the two Quit Smoking films that these guys did, and then they showed a whole bunch of trailers for all the new films. Every single one of them had people smoking. So it was, we saw the two Quit Victoria short films first, and then we saw the smoking.
Is it hip? Is it hipster to smoke again, Mikey? Do your friends smoke?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't. I hang out some healthy vegan friends, though. So
They said, look, in our community, smoking rates are much higher than in any other cohort, possibly with the exception of the Aboriginal community. So the LGBTI community smokes a lot, a lot more than other communities.
For some reason, we are crazy like that when it comes to lots of things, but we won't go there.
There's a dangerous path there.
Well, I mean, I've saw the short film itself, and it's like the little one that the kids did. That was really good, the two of them.
Yeah. Oh, wasn't it fantastic?
Yeah, it was good. And it's a great. So everyone get down to the film festival. It runs like it's fantastic.
I can't recall the number of films now, but it's enormous. And they're at it. And Carlton, they're in lots of different locations this year, and I think even on the other side of the river.
On the other side. Look, I was looking, there's a thing called the Spent Convictions Bill that you're trying to pass, but from what I was reading, I mean, I knew nothing about it, but it turns out that Victoria is the only state in Australia that actually doesn't have this type of bill.
I know. In my mind, this is just a correction because Victoria should have introduced this legislation. In a nutshell, it's about giving people a second chance. So if someone has been convicted of, a crime, not a serious one, but a reckless driving or a drunken disorderly or shoplifting or something like that, and they don't commit another crime for 3 to 5 years, then that shouldn't appear on their police record.
Okay.
So that means if they're going for a job somewhere, that they don't, it comes up that they have a clear police record.
Okay.
So when you've got people like McDonald's asking for police checks.
Well, I was shocked. I mean, because I'm looking for a job, and I was amazing now that everyone, I have to have a criminal check, got to have that. And then we went to borrow for another home. They wanted a criminal check to
no
get a
way.
Loan. Like there was something, and I'm like, mate, like a...
With your pass, did you get the loan?
Well, surprisingly, I did, Mikey. You'd be quite surprised. my only joy was having children very young and kind of locked me in the bush for quite a few years. So why is Victoria, what are they doing up in Spring Street when you've brought this bill up to them? Are they happy with it?
They've been quite silent on it. I'm hoping that they'll come out completely supporting it, as they should. You know, we know that the best way to increase your crime rates is to put people in jail.
In jail, isn't
you know,
it?
Yeah. If you put someone in jail, you give them a 66% chance of committing another crime than if they hadn't gone to jail.
Right.
So if we can keep people out of the criminal system and in employment, then that is a fantastic crime prevention strategy.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, I mean, a lot of times when you look at petty crime, and that's what we're talking about, not the horror that was there.
Yeah.
I mean, they end up, a lot of times it's a mental health issue, it could be homelessness, there's a drug dependency, so there's always an underlying issue. So by throwing someone that has a mental illness or other problems into an environment that really does have some nasty people in, what are we teaching them?
Exactly.
Like, what are we teaching them?
And when you've got an 18-year-old who's done something stupid...
Which we all did at 18.
Which we all have done at 18.
And some of us lucky just didn't get caught.
That's right.
Let's just be totally honest.
Let's be very honest about this,
Not me, I'm a good boy.
Well, you're a rare exception.
Well, I don't know you yet, Mikey, but, okay, well, I'll take that on face value.
Oh, thank you.
But, yeah, look, you know, we do dumb things when we're young. Yeah. So except for you, Mikey.
Yeah, except for me. I'm the one exception.
The one exception.
What should we do when we see these bills being put up into Parliament and not getting any traction with the rest of the guys up there?
I think it would be really helpful if people could just write to their local member saying, this sounds like a good idea. I'd really encourage you to support it. I mean, the Law Institute of Victoria has come out in support of it. All of the Aboriginal legal services. In fact, anyone who knows anything about the system has come out in support of it.
Our Indigenous population would struggle under this law.
This really helps them.
This is terrible. Yeah.
And one of the stories I was telling was that this young man, and he was a CFA volunteer, you know, he'd grown up in the bush, been with the firefighters since he was 15. You know, when he was 19, he ended up getting drunk and doing some dumb stuff, and he didn't get a prison sentence or anything. But he turned his life around. That wasn't who he wanted to be.
Yeah.
He got married, he had children, and he applied for a job with the CFA when they were looking for Indigenous applicants. And he thought, I'm about perfect for this job, and I've worked in the field, I've done fencing, I've done all of this sort of thing. But because he had a police record, he was refused the job.
Mm.
It's those sorts of stories that really show that this is just sensible reform. It's not about letting rapists out of jail. It's nothing like that. It's just about saying, look, you do the crime, you've done the time, we're going to allow you to move on.
And then if you've proved that you've come out into society, you're not reoffending, you're helping yourself. I mean, as a fair society, we're meant to actually be able to do that.
That's right. It's time for us to help you. And I think, you know, it's fairly recent times that you are asked for a police check to get a mortgage, that you're asked for a police check to fit burgers at McDonald's.
Who would have cared?
We didn't do that. We didn't do that.
I do want to keep you around if that's okay. I have more questions and I'm very excited to chat.
I noticed you locked the door anyway.
That was creepy Andy's doing. I wanted to talk about pill testing because that's been a big buzz thing in the media at the moment, and it definitely affects my demographic for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts?
Look, I think the fact that it affects your demographic entirely, I think, is one of the most important points to be made, that this is a youth issue. This is not a police issue. This is actually about keeping young people safe. And that seems to get lost in the whole thing. You know, we sort of start talking about, it sends the wrong message and it doesn't work anyway. And
The war on drugs hasn't worked.
Well, that's right.
I've been there forever, and the only people seem to be making money for it is the criminals.
It's
the criminals again. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got Fiona Meesham, who is the head of the Loop in UK. She's out at the moment. Again, we are still trying to get the government to turn on this. The Premier was pretty emphatic about it. I asked the health minister, why? Like, what is the evidence that leads you to believe this?
Because they keep showing this. They keep saying we have evidence.
That's right.
Yeah.
The evidence tells us that this won't work, that this won't stop you know, save people's lives, blah, 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 blah. And we're going, well, what is the evidence? Because the Australian Medical Association, the Royal College of General Practitioners, the Royal College of Emergency Medicine, you know, everybody else says that it does work. The 25 years of practice that has been in place in Europe says it does work. So what's your evidence to say it doesn't? And they can't provide any. It seems that the police are really opposed to this. And I wonder if it's actually just the police, one police minister in Lisa Neville. I get the feeling that she is really pushing this this drive not to allow a trial. We're not saying roll it out everywhere. We're saying a discreet trial.
Well, I noticed yesterday the Lord Mayor of Sydney's actually came out calling for it.
Yeah.
As well as I saw there was a lot of bands like Peking Duck and all of that are saying this is going to be the death of music festivals.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know you're out at the Rainbow Serpent.
That's right.
And there was some terrible incidents out there with some drugs and but I mean you were there on the ground. We see on the news these handful of people that are, but it's not the whole
everyone,
festival.
It was a beautiful festival. The art out there was wonderful. The atmosphere was wonderful. The one thing that I really noticed for the first time was there was a certain animosity between the partygoers and the police, and that's not usually the case. Usually everyone's getting along, everyone's having a good time, the police are there to help.
Yeah.
But there wasn't that sense of it this time because they had telescopic lenses hiding in the bushes and jumping on people on the dance floor and arresting them. So that was disappointing. I spoke to one police officer checking the cars as they came in with the dogs, and it was 40-plus degrees. The dogs couldn't work in that weather.
Well, you wouldn't be able to have them out there on the road.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And he said, look, really, you've got a car full of four people and their camping gear and all of their gear for 4 days. You really think we're going to find something?
No, yeah.
You know,
when I went to Falls this year, I witnessed someone get arrested in front of me and they had bags and bags of pills. So whether it works...
But we're not talking about drug dealing here. No, a drug dealer is terrible. But if someone taking the choice as a young one at a party to take a recreational drug, at least it's giving them the chance to actually know what they're taking. You know?
And we saw... So I went up to the DanceWise area and they've got a big sort of chill out area for people who are struggling, who might have just not had enough sleep and all of those sorts of things. And that was really wonderful. And if they could have just had a medically supervised intervention through pill testing. So not only do you get the pill tested, but all of a sudden you get this fantastic information about harm minimization. And the first thing they say is, if you want to be completely safe, don't take anything.
Yeah.
Is it come to do, are we so scared that if we, the government endorses something like this and we have pill testing, are they scared that if someone does something, because I mean, some people will still die.
Yeah,
if people take drugs, they're still going to die. We're going to get the deaths will be lower, but the people are still going to, unfortunately, you take drugs.
You know the interesting, I mean, we say that. The interesting thing is that overseas, what has resulted is that the illicit drug market has responded to it. So the illicit drug market has actually said, you know what, I'm not going to put those dangerous drugs in there because they're going to get picked up at a pill testing.
And people aren't going to go back to them to buy it.
That's right.
I never thought of it like that.
So I know, it's not something that's talked about a lot, but in actual fact it has actually made it safer overall.
Yeah.
But more importantly, you've got young people who have had no education or very little except for, you know, probably a giraffe coming to their school and telling them that drugs are bad. So you sit down with a health counsellor and says, if you were planning to take this, are you planning to have any alcohol? Are you planning to do this?
Yeah.
And it's this incredible informative session around drug use and around minimising the harm. And to me, the pill testing is kind of the lost leader in this.
Yeah.
It's actually the intervention and talking to someone about how to stay safe at a festival.
Yeah. It still shocks me that these lovely people in Spring Street and as well in Canberra who are making laws and dictating, you're not the experts you deal. You were voted into a position because of you can't be an expert in everything, and that's why someone in a good position employs somebody or goes to someone who has the correct information.
That's right. Why wouldn't we listen to the medical association?
Number one.
Why wouldn't we listen to the ambulance drivers who are calling for it? You know, all the experts are saying do this, but somehow the politicians have some secret information that they're not going to tell anyone, but it's why they're refusing to do it.
Well, I think I agree with the text room we just had who says don't take drugs!
Just say no.
As a parent, I mean, I had to go through that. I had to tell my children that, you know, the problems of drugs. I had to explain to them that having psychosis in their family, you know, what could happen at one time.
Yeah.
But then when they get older and you send them off to uni, then you've got to have a bit of a different conversation about, look, I know what the hell goes on. Just please think about what you're doing and explain the perils.
Mm. Yeah. Fiona, thank you so much for coming in. Oh, you can chat about this for absolutely hours.
I know. Thank you. My pleasure.
What a joy again. Thank you so much. Remember to check out the Reason Party website and to follow Fiona on all socials if you need to know the truth that's happening up there in Spring Street.
Wake up with Tom and Mikey, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Find all our podcasts at tomandmikey.com. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.